Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
A very good afternoon to you this Friday afternoon. You're very welcome along to the Friday Football Betting Show. As ever, this is the half hour where we try and at least tease our way through the odds to try and find some value and ideally pick a few winners for you. Leon and Phil are here this week. Leon, you're looking a bit guilty. I think it's been a while since you've had a winner on the show.
It is, Ger. I'm trying to get the dream and click the bet builder. We've been unlucky. We've got two out of three in a couple of occasions, but hopefully this week we're going to bet builder again. We'll talk about it in a little while, and we're looking at the big game, Spurs against Liverpool.
It was classic deflection on my part too, because I also did not have a winner last week. But it turns out nobody had a winner, not even Kevin Caban, the Oracle. So I'm going to go through Leon's first. A little bit optimistic. It was Wales against Ireland to be a draw at 21-10. Yeah. Under 2.5 goals, not quite. And both teams to score, no. Well, that was about as wrong as it could be.
It was absolutely disgraceful. I was just probably going with my heart, hoping that Ireland could pull off something. But as we all saw, they were atrocious against Wales. And I think that's the only word to describe them.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually backed Wales to win last week, straight up. Wales to win 2-1. And about 15 minutes in, I was like, woo! And then you're like, it's a bit early for us to have conceded only two goals with this team.
Yeah. Yeah. Very unpatriotic, sure.
Well, you know. It's called an emotional hedge. That's how it was described to me by a very smart man once. He was like, yeah, occasionally I'll just back the opposition as an emotional hedge so that if Ireland lose, I'm at least going, all right, well, at least I won 20 quid. Not the worst
I've
way.
Done it. No. I've done it plenty.
Yeah,
times.
Have you really? Is that like a thing?
You pick a team and you think, okay, I don't like this team, but at least if they win, you know, I do well out of it.
Yeah. So you do it week on a fairly weekly basis. So you back Man United, you back other teams. Sorry.
Yeah. That'd be one team I really
don't
wouldn't.
Tell everybody who I support. It's a big long conversation. Like, okay.
Mm. Yeah, people have a fair idea. Ah, my allegiance, you know. Yeah, well, but I try and say impartial.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about football fans is that they hate their own team screwing up so much that they are not immune to criticism of their own team.
Oh yeah, I probably put the boot in even more. Well, I'm just sick of it.
This is my point. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's just an Irish thing. Like, I think that in England, if you're a fan of a team, you're gee-eyed and that's it. You're like, you can see nothing. Arsenal Fan TV, for example, they can see all the bad stuff when it comes to Wenger, but everybody else kind of was immune from that level of criticism.
Yeah.
Or else it was just all criticism.
But yeah. I think it could be an Irish thing because I don't think we're afraid to get stuck into our own team, like if we're looking at it as well, you know?
Or our own in general.
Or our own in general, yes. Yes.
Okay, so Owen also had Wales to win and under 2.5 goals, which was blown up about 25 minutes into the game last week as well. So that was a loser. But Kev had this treble, which were like, ooh, three international matches that none of us, the rest of us, had a clue about whether or not these were good bets or bad bets. Switzerland against Iceland. Turns out Switzerland to win against Iceland was a good bet. They absolutely annihilated them 6-0. Czech Republic against Ukraine, not a good bet because Ukraine won that one. And Turkey versus Russia, he backed the Turks and Russia won that one. So.
Yeah.
A bad bet.
Bad bet.
Yeah, didn't even hit the crossbar on this one like Leon did.
No.
Yeah.
In fairness, Stephen Doyle out in the office was like, yeah, I fancy Luxembourg -2 during the week.
He is all over Luxembourg.
They beat Malta 3-0.
Yeah.
It was like, or was it San Marino?
San Marino.
In San Marino.
Away to San Marino can be a tough game at times.
Well, I mean, better teams than Luxembourg have failed to win by 3 clear goals. Yeah. But it came up, so... Yeah. If Stephen Doyle is sitting in this seat next week instead of me, that's because we are in desperation of need of a winner. Let's move on. We're going to talk about this week's right now.
The Friday Football Betting Show.
Thanks to the Boyle Sports Bet Builder.
Combine multiple selections into one single bet at one great price.
Try it today at offtheball.com/Boyle Sports.
Okay, so we'll just talk about these games before we get into the specifics of our bets. The big game, obviously, is Spurs against Liverpool. These games have had goals in them, right?
Yeah, they have. I think it's one. I think it's in the top three or top four fixtures in the Premier League for goals. So I'm expecting plenty of goals. I think there's a lot of attacking talent on show. Phil's going to go into what the team was back in 2015 when it was Klopp's first game in charge for Liverpool.
Scary. It's scary.
It is scary. Yeah. But I think, like, looking at it, I think Liverpool, they've started obviously very well, 12 from 12, but they haven't played great, which is a good sign. Salah was on fire for Egypt. They're going to obviously travel to Wembley. Not an easy place after we saw what happened last year. but a bit of a different team than what played even last year. And I think we're doing an offer this week, Jer, offtheball.com/boilsports, either Harry Kane or Mo Salah to score the first goal. It should be 6-4. We're pushing it out to 3-1. Now, Harry Kane, we all know how good he is. We all know how good Mo Salah is. I think it's a very decent offer. I think there's going to be goals. I don't think either team will keep a clean sheet. There's too many attacking players that can create havoc.
I'd love one of those Racing Post pieces about the early kickoffs. I mean, like, I have never seen one. Maybe that data does exist, but like in American football, there's this thing about teams playing on TV and the stats and how often they win and how often quarterbacks fail on TV because there's extra pressure for them. I just wonder about the early kickoff. And does it have an impact on expected goals? Does it have an impact on total goals and chances created? All that kind of stuff. I don't know. Instinctively, it feels like there should be something different about an early kickoff.
Also throw in back after an international break as well. And at this time last year, it was City against Liverpool when City smashed them 5-0 when Mane got sent off. So it's Liverpool actually have struggled in early kickoffs and especially after European games. But that's where it's probably a bit different now because they have a better squad.
Yeah.
I can prove that by telling you.
Yeah, let's go for it.
So 2015, October 2015, Jurgen Klopp's first game, White Hart Lane. And the team that day, Mignolet, Klein, Skrtel, Sacco, Moreno, Lucas, Chan, Milner, Lallana, Coutinho and Origi. So Milner is the only one now who's actually getting a run of the team. Lallana's injured, but even if he was fit, he's not getting into the team. So one player.
I thought Lallana was supposed to be absolutely amazing in the, you know, he's going to make the World Cup team and he's going to, there was a lot of hype around Lallana around this time last year.
But he's just picked up too many injuries.
Yeah, I think injuries have killed him, haven't they? Yeah. And he used to have that yard of pace.
Yeah.
He is still bolt-footed, which is a huge asset, but he doesn't go by players now. And as Phil said, he hasn't been getting into the team. He's been on the bench. He's been in the squad, but he picked up an injury when he was away with England. So
him on in the Champions League final, but he wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
Same with Emery Chan. But interesting that day then, you look at the Spurs team, a Spurs team that had Lloris, Walker, Alderweireld, Vertonghen, Rose, Dembele, Ali, Lamela, Eriksen, Chadli and Kane. So you just take Chadli and Walker out. So that's probably where we're at now. Liverpool are on this upward curve. Spurs are steady, but just feels now Liverpool have to go to Wembley tomorrow and make a statement to show what happened last season, the 4-1. Capitulation. Dejan Lovren had a shocker. He got taken off in the first half. Obviously, he's injured at the moment. That if Liverpool go there and win, it shows, do you know what? They probably are the real deal this season.
And I think that defeat 4-1, I can't remember before that the last time Spurs probably actually beat Liverpool. I'd say it's going back. First win in 11 in the league. So there you go. So Liverpool have a good record. However, at Anfield last year, Spurs absolutely dominated Liverpool for the entire second half. Salah got a wonder goal. Everyone thought that was the victory. And then Harry Kane got the late penalty. So it was a draw. But I wouldn't be surprised if this one finishes a score draw, Jer. I think there's going to be goals. Now, I know it's an early kickoff, but there's just too much attacking flair.
Just a reminder to everybody watching as well, of course, that if you are amongst our best commenters, we have prizes to give away courtesy of Boyle Sports. The best comments either on our Periscope feed, on the YouTube stream, on Twitter, or indeed on the Facebook stream will end up going home today with free bets courtesy of Boyle Sports. So you think it's going to be a score draw. Like, what's your instinct telling you about?
I think Liverpool will beat them. No Lloris, no Ali. I think one thing Spurs are very good at, though, is, and they showed this at Old Trafford in the first half, is they can defend. They have a good back four, and if the pressure's on, they'll be able to deal with it. But I think Hugo Lloris being out injured is a big blow for them. Obviously, he's been in the headlines this week for different reasons as well.
Puking in the car while drunk driving.
Yeah.
We don't need to dress it up.
A lot of people are kind of scratching their head why he's still the captain. I mean, it goes back to this thing, are footballers role models or not? Or should he still be captain because he's done something bad and maybe you have to show that.
They're not dropping him because of that. They're dropping him because he's injured.
He's unavailable
because he's injured.
Yeah. Dele Alli's out as well. So Son is back, though. I don't know. Did you see Son's nutmeg during the week?
No.
Oh, my God. It is one of the best nutmegs I've ever seen.
And I think with Dele Alli being out, he's normally the man that plays in the middle. Mm. And they push Eriksen to one wing, Lucas on the other wing. I actually think Eriksen should be right behind Harry Kane. Definitely more central. So I think actually Alli being out might be a positive for Spurs, in that Eriksen can move in and Son just as good as Dele Alli, in my opinion. I've never been carried away with Dele Alli. He's English. He gets a lot of good press, a lot of hype.
He scores a lot of goals.
Yeah,
but was he that good at the World Cup?
He wasn't great at the World Cup, but
has he
he's
done
still
that
very
well?
Young. He's played a lot of football, and that's maybe something that you could associate with the Spurs team. There is talk of Harry Kane being tired, and why did he sit on the bench for the friendly against Switzerland and come on? Is that him saying to Gareth Southgate, I want to come on? Because knowing Harry Kane, he probably wants to score goals and someday wants to be England's all-time leading goal scorer.
Yeah, but is his chasing of the individual record more important than managing the resources properly? And that seems to be an issue sometimes in football, that the big personalities are like, no, I'm going to do this. And the managers are like, oh, not too sure about that. Just to go back to Dele Alli though, like, did you rate David Platt as a footballer? Because he's kind of the modern day version of, like, a little bit more skillful, but he may well end up scoring 20 goals from midfield some season. Everybody goes, this is insane.
Yeah. And big goals as well. He scored some big goals.
He does score. Maybe he's played a lot of football, but I thought, you know, he was going this way, and I think his progression has stopped. I just don't know whether he can get past where he was maybe a season ago, where he was really on fire. And I actually think some players have found him out a little bit. I could be proved wrong, but we'll wait and see how he does this season. But I thought he was very disappointing in the World Cup. And I was a bit surprised how Southgate kept sticking with him.
Spurs definitely seem to be part of some kind of weird footballing social experiment where they're going back to the 1980s. They have a squad of players. They're not going to change it. Like, the fact that the team is almost exactly the same.
Yeah. You know,
there's a good chance that Chadli... So if Son wasn't around, Chadli might actually play.
Yeah. Well, if he hadn't been brought in, Chadli might still be at the club. But
yeah,
even looking at their team last season, Liverpool, for example, there's four or five that started last season, and the rest, they're not in the team.
Chadli and Lamela, I'm going to tell you.
So, yeah, Lamela. Yeah.
But Lamela obviously has had injury problems as well.
Had such a big impact on my life.
But he actually won the penalty at Anfield last season that got the draw for Spurs. But yeah, they've just stuck with the same 11. So this is the problem for Spurs. They have a very good first 11.
Yeah.
There's not many better in the league. But the problem is, how do they attract players? How can you attract, say, Liverpool have spent 70 million on Virgil van Dijk. If they wanted to spend 70 million, say, City spent 60 million on Riyad Mahrez. If they signed Riyad Mahrez, for example, they'd have to pay him 60 million to get him. Huge wages, which they don't do.
And everybody gets pissed off then.
He mightn't even be in the team.
Yeah, at that point, there's a queue of everybody at the door going, you said that we were all part of this. We're in a way structure. We understand exactly what we're doing. Now, maybe this is going to work. Maybe footballers are less greedy than we... They're all happy being mega wealthy instead of mega, mega wealthy. And maybe this leads them to some kind of glory. Yeah. Hasn't kicked in just yet, has it?
No, I look at these lads. I see Kyle Walker, he went for 50 million and probably still in a WhatsApp group with some of the Spurs players. Yeah. He has his Premier League winner's medal.
And he trebled his wages.
Yeah.
Now, look, I suppose like in every industry, if you're being sniffed around by someone else and they're offering you three...
Leon issues, come and get me, please.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if anyone's offering you three times your wages, you're kind of going, well...
Yeah, I'll have a chat with you. Yeah.
And
I'll definitely drink your coffee.
I think footballers sometimes get a bit too much of a harsh treatment in terms of, look, they've got a short career.
Absolutely.
We all know they make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But if someone's coming to offer you three times your wages, it's interesting, the betting, Jer, like, just for the match on itself, Spurs are nearly 2-1 at home.
Yeah.
And they do have a very good record at Wembley. Like, Liverpool are 13-10 and the draw is 13-5. I thought Liverpool might have been a bit bigger than 13-10 because Spurs are quite good at Wembley. However, as you said there, they've only beaten Liverpool once in their last 11 games against them. And that was last year's win when Lovren was just terrible. I mean, he was like a schoolboy.
Yeah, so, but Moreno was playing that day as well.
Yeah. So you look at the left side of Liverpool's defence last year, they had Lovren and Moreno. This year they've got Van Dijk and Robertson.
Yeah. Do you think Spurs are going to score? Are you saying Liverpool, both teams to win, both teams to score? Because that's 3-1. That's a bigger price than 7-5.
Do you know what? I could see Spurs scoring. I wouldn't be surprised if Spurs get a penalty or something like that and Harry Kane will score. So that's where the Kane and Salah bet looks good, because the two of them scored three goals each against the opposite team last season over the two games. But I could see Liverpool scoring 2 or 3. So I'd be thinking 2-1, 3-1.
Okay. All right. So that's the main game. That's obviously the early kickoff. We'll stick our our bets from this week up on the screen now and have a quick look at those. So we'll get to Cow's Treble and we'll get to our bets in a couple of minutes' time now. I've gone for a five-time accumulator this week just to add a little bit of spice to your Saturday afternoon. But first, so we're going to start with this one. Newcastle to beat Arsenal. At some point Newcastle are going to win a game this season, right?
There was a few sniggers out in the office.
A lot of sniggers, yeah. Particularly from Enda, who's producing today. But you're just doing these bets to lose money, aren't you?
And I'm like, you don't care.
This is 22-1, right? None of this is actually that ridiculous. Liverpool to win. Okay, so this bet could be done by lunchtime on Saturday afternoon. In which
you
case,
got the value on Liverpool 7-5. You got the value.
United to beat Watford 20-23. I think that's probably going to happen. I mean,
you don't think Watford are the new Leicester, no?
I don't know. Now that I've thought this through, I'm like, hang on a second. City to beat Fulham, I think that's definitely going to happen. Yeah. Chelsea to beat Cardiff, I think that's also definitely going to happen. Yeah. The two that I have my biggest doubts about, obviously, are the ones United to beat Watford and Newcastle to beat Arsenal. I think Liverpool will win. I just think that they're a better team at the minute, and I hope that their actual momentum is proper title challenge material.
Yeah, you want a title race. Yeah. Exactly. Newcastle at home, Jer, against Spurs and against Chelsea, they played extremely well. And they were unlucky not to get more out of both of those games. So they'll win at home sooner rather than later. And Arsenal are still a bit weak away.
That's my kind of emotional logic as opposed to footballing logic. It's that at some point, that stadium rocking as it is, and also flaky Arsenal. That's the other thing.
They're
still flaky.
I could certainly see Newcastle avoiding defeat rather than get that win. Arsenal are conceding goals, so they've definitely got a chance. I wonder, he can't be as cautious, though, as he was against City and Chelsea. Like, don't give Arsenal that respect.
It's Rafa Benitez, though. It's kind of a very natural sense of, I'm kind of happy with the nil-all/fluky 1-0.
3 o'clock. I wonder, will the 3 o'clock suit Newcastle? Because I've been in Newcastle on a Saturday, and they love the 3 o'clock kickoffs. And if they win...
Slander the entire city here.
If they win, Newcastle is some spot to go out in on a Saturday night if Newcastle win. And I was lucky to go to a game when they won on a Saturday and people are just skipping out of the stadium.
But if you don't fancy the 3-1, Newcastle draw no bet is 15-8.
Okay, yeah.
So you've got a little bit of insurance in there.
I think the draw no bet sometimes is a good bet for people who are chicken like me. Our first winner today is John C. Salah to score and Firmino anytime assist is always a good shout. Firmino is an assist machine, really, isn't he?
He scored when he played for Brazil. Got the first goal against USA. He got his first goal, obviously, of the season away against Leicester. So that's 2 goals, 2 games. Firmino he does so much work for Liverpool. If you ever go to a Liverpool game and just watch him, he never stops running. And he probably doesn't score as much as he should. But I think his overall contribution to the team is fantastic.
Probably just knackered when he gets to the goal. Yeah. His legs just turn to jelly.
Kev's Treble is next, so we need it. We need a win, Kev. What do we got in Wolves, Everton and Liverpool to win? Okay, so again, this could either be done or well set up by the early kickoff. And that comes out at 8-1. Wolves have been a little bit underwhelming and yet have also been pretty good. Mm. In a weird kind of like a last minute winner against West Ham. Is a thing that you hope will galvanize everybody and make everybody have faith in everything they're doing. But then there's the international break immediately afterwards and they don't actually get any kind of sense of
continuity. At least Matt Doherty will be fresh anyway.
Well.
Yeah, he will be.
And it helps who they're playing as well.
It does. And I think at home, they've done well to get a point against City, a point against Everton. Very solid start by Wolves. And Burnley, a lot of pressure on Burnley at the minute. I think Wolves are capable of winning at home. I think Everton... they were disappointing against Huddersfield, but they did have suspensions and injuries.
When I was a Villa fan properly, right, before they got shit, the team would enter the Intertoto Cup always because they were too shit to qualify properly for Europe. Mm. And I would always be kind of happy about that because they would have competitive matches to bed the squad down when the rest of everybody else was still on the beach and drinking, as they would have been at that time. Why did Burnley not get a bounce from having had competitive action and matches and game time and minutes and partnerships built from the Europa League matches? Instead, what it was a complete dissipation of all of the work that they'd done last season. It almost felt like they came in, treated that like a bit of a joke, and they're still on holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah, he obviously changed the teams as well. I'm not a Joe Hart fan. I think when he won the league, the titles with City, he he was a much better keeper. I can remember actually when Mancini dropped Shea Given and played Joe Hart. It was against Spurs, and he was brilliant. And I thought, you can't really argue with that. But ever since he got let go by City out on loan, he's just got worse and worse. And I think there's definitely a correlation with Burnley being down near the bottom and Joe Hart being in goal. Like, Nick Pope played last season, he's injured. Yeah. Tom Heaton was out for most of last season. He played the European games. Why not stick him in for the Premier League? But with all respect now to Villa and the Intertoto Cup, what kind of teams were they playing? Burnley actually had some tough games in the Europa League.
It didn't matter so much as, like, the team was getting settled and the management was working out who the best players were to play in each position, as opposed to just like, this is this terrible thing we have to endure as a club. I mean, I know Burnley hates Europe as a collective, but like, that's taking it to extremes, right?
Yeah, I really wanted Burnley to go on a European campaign where they got the Burnley people.
Got to see Rome and Brussels and Luxembourg and France.
Your first point kind of with the Europa League, I think maybe with Sean Dyche and the way he kind of sets up his teams week to week in the Premier League was fine. Thursday, Sunday. Don't know whether they have the capabilities of playing two games in that short space of time. The way they're set up, they don't dominate possession. So they're always kind of on the back foot. Yeah. And I just wonder, playing those two games in quick succession, it obviously didn't help them. And I'd be fearful of Burnley this season. I think they're going to have a bit of a task on their hands. And I also think West Ham, Pellegrini was brought in. He's got no points from four. He spent 100 million. It's a tricky game for him away to West Ham. Away to Everton.
Still hasn't convinced Declan Rice to declare openly for England yet. So
Declan Rice might get a run actually on Sunday. They need a bit of solidity in.
Is Richarlison back for Everton now after his red card? Because they had a League Cup game. How many league games did he miss? I'm not too sure. It was a three-game suspension.
He got sent off against Bournemouth. So obviously they drew at Huddersfield. I would imagine he probably has one more
Vardy's left.
Back. So what weekend did Vardy get sent off?
Yeah, he got sent off in the second game of the season.
Yeah, so Richarlison was the third game.
So he's got one game left.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's a big loss. Because against Huddersfield, to be fair, Everton were dreadful. Mm. I think they had three shots in the entire game. So maybe West Ham can go and get something.
That's the other part of Kev's bet. So Everton against West Ham. It was, as we've just been talking about, Wolves against Burnley. And then, of course, Liverpool to beat Spurs as well. So that was his 8-1 treble. What's our next bet? Phil's bet's next. Okay, so Phil, what have you got for us this week?
I've gone for an absolute goal fest here.
Wow.
Manchester City, Fulham.
Six goals.
Fulham have conceded multiple goals in all four games, right? They're playing Manchester City.
A minimum of two, okay. Yeah.
So Sergio Aguero just scores goals at the Etihad at the moment. That's all he's done. His last 14 goals have been at the Etihad. So he's turning into a bit of a Gini Wijnaldum where he doesn't do away days. And he didn't actually score against Newcastle. Fulham remind me of what Bournemouth do. They have a way of playing. They're not going to change that for anyone, not even the champions. They're going to go there, have a go, probably score. So that's where I'm thinking maybe they might get one or two.
5-1 gets you.
5-1, yeah. Maybe, 4-2 I'd settle for.
It's like this amazing game of football and it's 4-1 and you're the only person in the place going, oh, for God's sake, push
on. And I know Keith Andrews, we were talking about it yesterday, he's at the game. And I said, it has to be a goal fest. So he said, if you turn that game into a nil-all draw, then...
He's got some kind of jinx, does he?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people like you, Phil, because it's now gone 3-1.
Right.
Over 5.5. So it's come in from 130.
That's mad, isn't it?
7-5 is the price for over 4.5. And that's come in as well. So I think a lot of people are expecting goals. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. Fulham will go and attack. And that will play right into Man City's hands.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great game. I just think it'll be... Just Man City will just blow them away. Now, I know that De Bruyne is not there, but
they're the only probably squad that don't miss him as much.
No.
They've got Bernardo Silva, who's playing really well. Yeah. David Silva, Mahrez.
It feels like this is a much better City squad able to deal with that kind of stuff. Like even last year when Mendy went out, you're like, ooh, wonder what that's going to happen. It was totally fine. It made no difference to them. But in previous years when they were losing players like that, you're thinking, ooh. I wonder what's actually going to happen here, but they haven't really missed a beat yet.
No.
Okay, so our second prize winner, picking up a €50 voucher courtesy of boysports.com, is Jerry Starkin on Facebook. He's going with a bet builder, Liverpool to win 1-0, Salah score first, 25-1 is the price that he's got for that. I mean, I don't know. Liverpool to win 1-0. Yeah. They're not going to be another goal in that game. Well, those early kickoffs, I'm worried about them. That's my, like,
Liverpool, they trust their defence now and their goalkeeper, as long as he doesn't try
and, yeah.
a Cruyff turn again.
Well, I think he learned. I think the next four or five balls that came back to him, he just put the, yeah. And I, you know something, I don't know whether everyone saw this, but Jordan Henderson went right up to him after that mistake and did have words.
Did he, yeah?
Yeah, he did. So I suppose not Henderson's not everyone's cup of tea, but as a captain, that's what a captain should do. And he went right up to him and said it to him. So
I'd give a word first of Van Dijk saying, next time you play a back pass to me, you'll actually pass it to my feet.
Yeah.
Not outside the box where I have to go running for it.
Yeah.
You'd be the one starting the fight in the dressing room instead of just like listening to what the captain says, nodding, yeah, Grant, I'll get Van Dijk later.
Yeah.
No, it was Van Dijk's fault.
Yeah. It was a terrible back pass.
It was. It was just,
he still had enough time just to put it into Rosette.
Mike Breen on YouTube says, as Mahatma Gandhi says, never back the early kickoff. So for your blasphemy, we're giving you 50 quid betting voucher, courtesy of boysports.com. Right. So your bet builder for us this week, Leon, we're going to stick that up here on the squad. We need one of these to come in anytime now.
Yeah, I've gone for over 2.5 goals. I still think there'll be goals. I know it's an early kickoff. Putting Salah up for an anytime assist at 9-2, and both teams to score at 8-15. So it's coming in now 13-1.
If he dies for a penalty, does that count as an assist?
I'm nearly sure if you get fouled for a penalty, it is an assist, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
look at you.
Fouled.
Spot the Liverpool fan.
No, fouled for a penalty, it is an assist. Yeah, look, I think I'm a bit cautious about Liverpool tomorrow, but maybe they can nick it. But I'm not going for a Liverpool win. I'm just going for goals, Salah, and both teams to score.
Yeah, that looks like a pretty reasonable outcome. Because if it's 2-1 win to Spurs, if it's 2-1 win to your quid's in.
Yeah.
Okay. Any of the other games that we should be talking about here?
I think there's a big game at 5:30. I think, another side have got 100% record. Watford.
Yeah. This is mad. Watford's start of the season has been absolutely mad. So Watford against Man United, the match betting, Watford are 16-5. And now that I look at it, I'm like, what the hell? That's a big price.
Bit of money for Watford who just come into 3-1.
Okay.
Yeah. And United are going towards the even money mark at 10-11. And the draw is a 5-2. We do have another special for offtheball.com/boilsports. Lukaku back amongst the goals against Burnley. 7-2 first goal scorer. We're enhancing that out to 5-1. And with Lukaku, you know he's going to play every game. You know he's going to get chances.
Yeah. You know he's going to score against teams that I would say in the lower half of the table, but at the moment.
But at the moment. But I suppose if you look at Watford over the last couple of season, lads, they've always started the Premier League season on fire. It's when they get to that kind of safety mark of 40 points, they just seem to say, right, lads, we're going on holidays.
And that's fair enough, I think. Like,
work hard in those first few months. They deserve it.
Yeah, exactly. And like, ultimately, they get told, this is your target. You hit your target, everybody gets paid, and next season is next season.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I can see the...
Somebody told me in the office before we came in here that Harry the Hornet, their mascot, has resigned.
Oh yeah?
So I don't know what kind of effect that'll have.
Okay.
Is there a backstory?
Like, Roy Hodgson has had an issue with Harry the Hornet because of the game last season where Harry the Hornet mocked Wilfred Zaha for diving.
Okay. And I think even again we're talking about draw no bet. Like, to have that security, Watford are 9-5 at home. Draw no bet. I'd rather take that insurance than trying to back them at 3-1.
Or back in Man United odds on away from home at the moment.
Yeah, it's
Marcus Rashford.
Does that matter?
No, it's Mourinho's done his press conference.
Yeah, what happened here? So in case anybody hasn't seen this.
Like, obviously, Rashford has scored 2 goals on international duty for England. And he was asked about, you know, why don't you play Rashford? He's pretty much pulled out a load of facts. He's gone Rafa-esque 2009 before the Stoke game.
Did he say facts?
He didn't say facts a load of times. But he's gone through what Rashford has played. So 2016-17 season, which is Jose's first season, and Mourinho says Rashford played 53 times and he played 32 Premier League matches, appearances, but 16 starts. Played 11 Europa League matches, 8 starts, 3 FA Cup, 3 starts, 6 League Cup, 3 starts. He plays them mainly, he starts them for the cup games. Even last season, 35 Premier League matches, 17 starts. And the thing that I found so frustrating at Mourinho and Rashford was he played on the left against Liverpool, scored twice. The first goal was exactly why he plays on the left, because he cut inside Trent Alexander-Arnold and smashed it past Karius. Then a few days later, they're playing Benfica in the Champions League.
He
huge game.
On the right.
Sticks him on the right, and Alexis Sanchez, because we pay him a lot of money, we put him on the left. And Rashford didn't have a good game.
You'd be worried if you were a Marcus Rashford or an Anthony Martial or even any type of young player at United at the moment, where is the progression? Mm. Where is the real opportunity to actually show yourself? I know Jamie Carragher said last week that Rashford should look to go out on loan.
He's probably just whining up.
Yeah, he is. Of course he is. But I mean, I still think he's got a valid point. Mm. I mean, like, this is a young kid who needs to play week in, week out. Like, his confidence must be shot.
There's not a whole heap of players who've gone, who've reached the level he's at and then gone on loan and been successful. I mean, there's a few, obviously. Lukaku obviously ends up making it back to a Premier League team. But he didn't really get as many games when he was at Chelsea as Rashford has now.
Yeah.
So you feel like it's a big step down. Like, navigating out of this career position that he finds himself in is difficult, to find somewhere where you're going to be able to go and be the man and shoulder that responsibility. Whereas there's still probably a couple of years at Man United where they could ease him into that position.
Yeah.
Under the right manager.
Yeah, he's gonna stay, and he's gonna outlast Mourinho at United, obviously. But I don't really know if he's an out and out striker. You see, even the Spain game last week, he had that chance at the end.
Yeah, he missed a couple of chances, didn't he, against Spain? But I think, like, as a young lad, if he's playing and he's scoring, confidence will build.
Yeah.
And I just think, look, if you look at United now, I mean, if you looked at United a couple of years ago and you said to them you were nearly even money away to Watford, like, you know, Man United fans would be going all in.
Yeah.
But now you're kind of, whoa.
This could easily be nil all. You could see Jose deciding, oh, that's a team in the top four, have won every game. I'm gonna thwart them, park the bus.
You're in.
And here we go. Yeah.
And to be fair to Troy Deeney, people were saying, no, last year, like, he did look a big guy from as in a Premier League football standard. He's lean, mean, and he's absolutely on fire at the minute.
I mean, I still don't understand this whole, like, losing weight at 28, 29.
I know.
Finally going to eat properly.
Yeah, he gets, you know, a lot of praise for losing a stone. I was like, what were you doing with the stone?
What were you doing before?
Same with Luke Shaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luke Shaw was addicted to ice cream and car journeys. That was his problem. He was driving home and eating ice cream on the way.
99 out the window.
All the way down to Southampton. There's a lot of 99s you can get in.
I think Watford 9-5, draw no bet. Pretty decent.
Yeah.
Pretty decent price now.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because Mourinho's teams were settled early when they were brilliant. At Chelsea, you knew exactly what that starting 11 was going to be, give or take one position.
Yeah.
And it was never somebody who would play in a bunch of different positions. It was like you were either in or out for somebody as a like-for-like replacement. Now it seems like he hasn't got a clue what his best team is. All right, gents, good stuff. Hopefully we've picked some winners this week.
Yeah. I think the enhancements are decent. Yeah. Kane or Salah.
Ignore us, go with the enhancements.
3-1.
The enhancements, score first, by the way, the enhancements have a way better record than we do. Picking winners
they certainly
so far.
Do.
Like 5 out of 6, I think. So,
yeah.
Kane or Salah, score first, is available on offtheball.com/boysports. That is your Friday football betting show here this Friday afternoon. We're with you every Friday afternoon, around about 12:30, trying to plot our course through the minefield that is the weekend's Premier League betting. We'll see you next Friday afternoon, right about the same time. Good luck.
The Friday football betting show.
Thanks to the Boyle Sports Bet Builder.
Combine multiple selections into one single bet at one great price.
Try it today at offtheball.com/boilsports.